You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
We're back on Colt Gennaro Chat. Welcome back. Welcome in. I'm Jeremy Barron. I'm joined by Robbie Dunn. And it's been a long month for Atletico Madrid, Robbie. A rough month for Atletico. And it ended, entering this international break, in, to say the least, less than desirable fashion at Mestalla. Atleti with a 3-1 lead, entering second half stoppage time, and they draw 3-3. What happened?
Ooh, I have no idea. It's funny that you say that, because after Versalico scored, I said, wow, this is a great... I was thinking, after the Trippier injury, I was like, oh, this isn't great, and it was 1-1, and I was thinking it's not a great way to go into the international break. And Griezmann scored, and Versalico scored, and I was thinking, this is a great way to go into the international break.
Yeah.
A comfortable win against a difficult opponent. And then all of a sudden, everything just collapsed. And then I was thinking, this is... For a team that already has been showing some kind of mental weaknesses and mental lapses, this having a week now to sit and dwell on this is just... it's just going to be kryptonite for them. They're going to end up being... I don't know. I mean, it just keeps happening. There's something going on. There's a nervousness about them. And I know it's easy to say this after the game and everything, and we watched it, but there was a little bit of a sense of inevitability about it after they got the second one.
Yeah.
When it was 3-2, you were kind of like, okay, maybe not inevitable that they were going to get the third one, but they were going to get a really good chance or two, I felt. And it was just whether or not Valencia could take that chance, and obviously they did. And I don't know. I mean, we can talk with Simeone's quotes for a bit, but after it, and I don't know really what he means by some of his quotes, but it's a bug in the system rather than it's a characteristic almost of the system.
Yeah.
Rather than a bug now, I feel like. No?
I don't think it's a bug anymore. I don't think it's a glitch. This is the system. I'm gonna quote a very wise man who wrote something recently on Into the Calderon. He wrote, "The truth is that Diego Simeone's side are suffering from some form of collective mental malfunctioning that is costing them points and could cost them a trophy at the end of the season." Do those words sound familiar, Robbie?
I don't know. I say a lot of things, Jeremy, you know this. I think, this is why we do the podcast. We watch Atletico every single week. Like when you do watch it, you do get a better insight. So we're watching them like you can tell when something's just sporadic or something's just a flash in the pan, or else it's something like, no, there's actually an anxiety here hovering around Atletico Madrid. And I don't know, see, the problem is in Spain, I didn't get a chance to watch the press conference, but I read some of the quotes, and the problem in Spain is, and I find it so weird that they don't quote word for word what the manager says. They just kind of put it into their own words, which is just weird. Mm-hmm. So one website has Simeone saying one thing, and the other one has Simeone saying something else, and it's, they're kind of the same sentiment, but I'd like to just have a word for word what Simeone said, and I'll go and look for the press conference and watch it after. But basically, he said that when you don't learn, errors cost you in football, and when you don't learn from your errors, you pay the price. Mm-hmm. And he said it's my fault, but I don't know if he was saying it as, you know, I know it's my fault, the book stops with me, or whether he means. It almost sounded like Jose Mourinho-esque in that he said it's my fault for trusting Herrera and Condogbia. You know what I mean? I don't know if he said it like that, or if he said it like it was my fault for playing certain players for so long after the game against Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't know what he meant by that, but he's basically saying it's my fault. And I don't know. I mean, it's Hector Herrera is just one of the clumsiest footballers I've seen. I don't really know what Condogbia is doing going forward and not giving the ball off there. But even Hermoso, did you see? I actually was watching it here, and I was like, well, what's he doing? He passed the ball. He didn't even clear it. He passed the ball. To someone, to a Valencia player, as if like, oh, here, go again.
Yep, I remember that action.
Did you see that?
Yep.
Weird. It's absolutely weird.
It's not a bug in the system. It's not an aberration in the matrix. This is what Atletico are right now defensively. It's a mess, and it needs to be urgently corrected, or else they're not going to win the title. This is the kind of game that, at Mestalla, two goals up with 90 minutes gone, you need to win. Like, it is inexcusable to throw this game away. And, you know, you mentioned Simeone's kind of rather cryptic quotes after the game. Cholo is not exactly the most quotable manager, so when he said something in this vein that is this open to interpretation, it's definitely noteworthy. It's definitely newsworthy. Lots of times the manager gets it right, but this time I failed. Now, he could mean the substitutions, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He could mean the trust in certain players, the mentality that Atletico seemed to be lacking, that sharpness late in games to get them over the line. At 3-1 up, they were still coasting, man. Like, into the 80th, 85th minute, they were still playing very well, but Simeone then messed with it. He took off Rodrigo De Paul, which I thought was a gigantic blunder.
Yeah.
He put on Joao Felix for 5 minutes when Felix cannot get into a rhythm. There's no point in making that change. Just give him the day off. Yeah. You might as well. Condogbia then makes the critical mistake in midfield, that ball loss at the start of stoppage time that leads to Hugo Duro's first of two goals. Just none of these changes were at all successful or made sense within the flow of the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Rodrigo De Paul, and I completely understand the fact that Rodrigo De Paul gets through so much work, but and you don't want to risk him. And I guess this is kind of us in hindsight. Yeah, it's whatever. But at the same time, Rodrigo De Paul, I was going to write about how good Rodrigo De Paul is this week when they were 3-1 up. Obviously, I probably changed that. But it doesn't really change much. The two goals don't really change much. He wasn't on the field for them. But good things happen when he's on the field. And I was actually just listening to Ben Taylor, Thinking Basketball, a podcast from him a while ago, and he was talking about the tyranny of the unquantifiable. And he adds something that you just can't quantify. Like, obviously, the assist.
That's good.
And, He gave the pass to Luis Suarez for the goal. But if you watched Griezmann's goal, he was in the vicinity. He was pressing, winning the ball back. He's just when he's on the field and where he is on the field, good things happen for Atletico. And I understand Simeone is trying to protect him. The very fact that he is so good, Simeone is trying to protect him with an international break coming up. But at the same time, you're right. Simeone often does this where he goes really defensive and you're like, okay, he's shutting down shop. And then he goes really attacking. He makes a change that flips that back on its head then. And it's kind of like, well, that was weird. Like, what? He took off two attackers. Grand. Okay. And then he brought on an attacker for... And it's just kind of like, I don't really understand that. Now, maybe someone smarter than me or Simeone obviously knows what he's doing or has a good idea as to what he's doing. But it just, for me, looking at it, it doesn't always look like it makes sense. And I don't think this is unfair, but I think Hector Herrera, in that kind of a close situation, being forced to defend, is one of the worst options you have there.
Because Herrera is not a defensive midfielder. Herrera is really good when he's on the ball and given time and space to pass. Literally anything else, he's a liability.
Lovely footballer in that sense. Great passing range. Very ambitious with his passing. He can be creative. He's bold. But yeah, it's like he has no awareness of what's... He has eyes for the ball, and he can't seem to see what's going on around him. Like, he just puts his leg in, and he's liable to give away a free or a... I just find him just a bit clumsy. And then, even then, for the second goal, I don't think he defended well from the front post, and I think maybe there was plenty of blame to go around on that one. But yeah, man, I don't know. And that's what Simeone said. He said, "Look, I can't let a couple of bad mistakes at the end change." Like, it was 80 to 85 really good minutes, and it really was. Like, they were cruising, and I guess we can't be too hyperbolic about it either. And that obviously the errors are an issue, yes, but it was a really good 85 minutes, and Atletico were 3-1 up, and things were going really smoothly. Suarez involved in a couple of goals. And Griezmann with an absolute one of the best goals you'll see. It was so
fabulous
well taken.
Goal, yeah.
Absolutely, just, you could watch that on replay all day. If Versalco got the goal, I was thinking that's going to do his.
Like, even Shime Versalco got a goal, Robbie. Like, everything was going so well.
Everyone was showing up at Letty.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the whistle doesn't blow after 85 minutes. In this case, it blows after 97. And it finished 3-3. Just such a demoralizing result, you got to think, for Atletico. But we can come back to that in a minute. We don't want to be entirely gloomy on this podcast. Well, let's talk about a few of the positives. And there were positives. Simeone chose to repeat persist with the 11 that beat Betis last week by 3-0. Atletico went ahead after 35 minutes with Luis Suarez getting his 7th goal of the season. It's really... We've talked about it consistently with Suarez, how he is literally just kind of limping around or hobbling around, and then when the ball gets in the box, there he is. You know, he had a goal and an assist in this game for Versalco. Didn't do a whole lot else, but he comes up with the goods when it's needed. So he puts Atletico a goal to the good. Stefan Savage then puts the ball in his own net just after halftime, a tough one for him. Griezmann then restores Atletico's lead. Shime Versalco gets one that went to VAR, but that's his first ever league goal, and you're thinking at 3-1 up, Atleti are doing everything right. And granted, Kieran Trippier's injury was kind of a blight on the afternoon, and we're still waiting for updates on that, but the first at least hour, if not longer, was very good for Atletico.
Well, I just saw that he has a... it's weird because the medical reports in Spain are just ridiculous. But it's he did his AC joint, basically, which is better than the collarbone, obviously. But the AC will probably keep him out over over the international break, obviously he wasn't called up by by Gareth Southgate, but yeah, he should be I'd say a couple of weeks and he should be back. So let's see.
Well, that is a positive development, because it didn't look good. Trippier had to come off after 7 minutes, basically, after a collision with Helder Costa. Just fell right on his left shoulder. He had to put his arm in a sling, and hopefully it's nothing more serious than that. It rules out any bone damage or a dislocation or any collarbone injury, which is good. But Vrsaljko came on and replaced him and did really well. I think Vrsaljko's performance was the best from an Atletico right back this season.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. He was absolutely solid. He was where he needed to be, and he got the goal, obviously, and massive. But like at the end of the day, like this is a Croatian international. Like there's nothing wrong with Vrsaljko. Just for whatever reason, Simeone doesn't really fancy him, and this is kind of an issue, I guess, that once you kind of if Simeone doesn't trust you, it's very very hard to get anywhere near his good books. So
right.
So like I mean, Simi Vrsaljko is fine. I know he hasn't really been given too many chances for Atletico and stuff like that. But Simi Vrsaljko is fine, and if he's given a kind of a run of games, maybe to get up his fitness. Because the problem is when he comes in and he's trying to impress then, and he's not fit and he hasn't played and stuff like that, he struggles. But yeah, like he might get a game or two now and see what he's made of, and maybe try to convince Simeone that he is an option going forward. But yeah, I thought he was good today, and the goal really topped off a really good performance.
It was a strange action for that goal, which, again, his first ever league goal for Atletico, and he signed for the club in 2016. It was a ball into the box. Suarez kind of chops at it. It ends up, I think, deflecting off a Valencia defender. I'd have to watch it back, but Suarez chops at it. It ends up at Vrsaljko's foot, and he just taps it in. It went to VAR. They kind of debated whether it was offside or a handball, but Vrsaljko was clearly onside. And it was a great moment for him. He has a goal and an assist now this season, which is more than we can say about Kieran Trippier, whose performances have been really kind of, what's the Spanish word? Gris. They've been kind of gray. They've been kind of flat, bland.
I actually think, speaking about Vrsaljko, obviously he adds depth there, but I don't think he's ever going to fully convince Diego Simeone. But what he might do is play Marcos Llorente there and have Llorente as kind of like a right wing back, and then that will allow kind of Rodrigo de Paul to play more centrally, and yeah, they could cause havoc down that right side if Simeone chooses to go that way once Llorente is back, you know.
Yeah, Vrsaljko should be a consideration. Like, he's a quality player. It's not like he's some bum playing right back.
Yeah, no, and then for whatever reason, Simeone just kind of discarded him. And again, like, once he does discard you, it's hard to get back anywhere near his good book. So yeah, I thought it was good. Like, and I mean, that's the thing. When Trippier went off so early, I was kind of worried. I was like, oh, no, like, Vrsaljko, I don't know what's going to happen here, but yeah, he was fine, and I don't think that was the issue for Atletico at all. So it was more just those errors again, and I mean we're not coaches, so we don't know exactly who was supposed to be picking up who or exactly where it broke down. Obviously, we could speculate and say what we saw, but. And the first Hugo Lloro goal was again the same as we saw against Liverpool, and we've seen in the past, is a striker kind of getting in between Atletico's two centre backs.
He had three defenders chasing him on that goal, Robbie.
Yeah.
Three defenders chasing him. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know how. It's just a lack of communication, a lack of responsibility, a lack of maybe a lack of understanding of what they're supposed to be doing, an inability to kind of, or maybe it's just like a theoretical thing, like in or the way that they're playing, that that space between those centre halves is always there, rather than, like, it's kind of like zonal marking as opposed to someone, you pick up him when right. he's anywhere near the box or whatever it happens to be. Again, I'm not a coach, so I don't know, but it is a problem, and I don't know how Simeone fixes it. And I guess when you kind of read the tea leaves as to him saying, when a manager doesn't learn, and you, when you don't learn, you pay the price. I think maybe this is what he means. Like, it keeps happening, and he's saying we have to change something. Whether that means change the system or a change of personnel, we're going to have to wait and see. But he's limited now as to, on both fronts, I mean, because of Carrasco playing so well at wing back and also in terms of personnel, he doesn't have any. If he's going to stay with a back three, he doesn't have that many options at centre half, unless he's going to bring a youngster in, or, like, I mean, in January they're probably going to have to do something about the right back situation. Anyway, maybe if Versalco doesn't work out and Trippier doesn't have anyone to push him on, and they're going to have to maybe sign a centre half, because Felipe, I mean, we obviously didn't see him today, so
right, we can't rag on him today. He didn't play.
Yeah, it was his fault.
Guarantee you, several Into the Calderon followers are thinking that. Guarantee it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think you're going to have to kind of maybe... You text me after the game, you were like kind of saying, like, you're starting to really doubt Atletico's credentials for the title, but at the same time, they're sleepwalking to a... They're still in the mix for the title, and I think that if they can fix it, they're fine. But the only problem is that they're going to probably need a reinforcement or two in the
right
in the winter transfer window. And I'd say, if they get out of the group in the Champions League, they'll have to invest again if they have any kind of a chance of doing anything in the Champions League.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into what this result means, both in a vacuum and in the grand scheme of things. I did text you, quote, stick a fork in him for the title. I believe that is a direct quote. This is just a devastating result. This is one that you have to have if you're going to compete for the title. Similarly, last season, Atletico went to Mestalla and dominated, but the game was very tight, and it was goalless until the end when Atletico won it with an 80th minute own goal. And that result was one where I thought, okay, they're really going to compete for the title this year. This time around, you have this lead, and you throw it away with silly errors, and there are only so many instances where you can make those errors and keep getting away with it. Real Madrid are not going to drop points forever. They won back-to-back games entering the break, barely beating Rayo yesterday, Robbie, but beating them.
Yeah, like you're saying, it's devastating. I think it would have been devastating, and I think that we think, it's devastating because of, it's just a kind of game that's kind of inexcusable. But I don't think it's devastating in this season, because I watched, obviously, Real Madrid and Rayo last night, and, man... I just don't see how they can... Like, you're saying they're not going to keep dropping points. I don't know, unless they figure out a way to kind of fix their defence and fix... Like, I mean, as the season drags on, Cruz, Casemiro and Modric are just going to keep getting more tired. And the players around them, Lucas Vazquez, Asensio, are... Just, I don't think they're going to pick up the slack. I just don't think it's devastating for Atletico. And then, in terms of if I was going to pick any manager to figure it out in La Liga currently, it has to be.
It would be Simeone. Like, sure. That's a good point. That's a good counterpoint.
So, I mean, and there's no team like running away with it. And teams like Sevilla, Real Sociedad, as good as they have been and as good as they are, they haven't been here before. They haven't been in the title race deep into the season before, so we have no idea how they're going to react. And I think Atletico, having just won this league, having that depth, having those attacking options, because that's the other thing. Like, Atletico, after they conceded the goal today from the Savage own goal, they look shaky again. They were starting to get real shaky, and it was Griezmann who just scored that goal of absolutely nothing. And
yeah,
it was,
great goal.
Yeah, again, what a goal. Unbelievable. But
and that Griezmann goal, not to interrupt you, but that Griezmann goal is emblematic of the talent and the ceiling and the potential exactly. This team has.
Exactly. And Antoine Griezmann's getting back to his best. And he's starting to feel good. He's starting to feel comfortable. He's starting to he's starting to express himself again like the way he used to. And he just looks like he's getting back to himself. And Joao Felix, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on there in terms of why he's not playing more regularly in that. But I think he'll have a massive say in this league. And like you said, this the talent in Atletico's attack, even Suarez. And I know that I kind of have issues with Suarez at the moment. How he's playing is over. His overall contribution, but that goal today was utter class. The goal, and he is still capable of that. So, I think Simeone has a lot of figuring out to do in terms of how he wants this squad. I think he needs to figure out his rotation. I think he needs to figure out his how he wants to shut down games and things like that. And like we were speaking about earlier, the substitutions at the end of the game. And I think he's got to figure out his best 11. He's got to figure out how he wants to use Suarez. Maybe he wants to keep using them full on. He has to figure out how to get Joao Felix a run of games where he feels like he's the man, because he could get you 15 goals. He could easily score 12 goals in the second half of the season. So you have Thomas Lemar and Marcos Llorente to come back. It's devastating in that it's a good punch, and Atletico now have 10 days and 2 weeks to kind of dwell on this and get to soak in their inadequacy. But at the same time, I think they will come back, and they haven't been left behind by anyone in La Liga, and I don't think Real Madrid are up to much. Like Rayo were as placid as I have seen Rayo, and like as in gung ho going for it. And Rayo, and they nearly nicked the draw.
Yeah.
And the XG wasn't overly kind to Real Madrid either. It wasn't like they absolutely battered them and all. Yeah. But like Real Madrid should have walked away with it. They just kind of didn't really know how to do it, and Rayo nearly snuck a draw. But I just don't think it's I would trust Atletico to get to the bottom of this and figure this out.
You make some good points. You make some very effective counterpoints. And speaking of the expected goals in this game, Robbie, Valencia 1.57 XG, Atletico 2.64. Normally, Atletico walk away from Mestalla with a victory. They do extend the unbeaten run against Valencia to 14, which is pretty impressive, given Valencia's size and given their significance in Spanish football. That's an impressive unbeaten streak. But even then, in a vacuum, this is one Atletico could not afford to throw away. That being said, bigger picture, no one is running away with La Liga right now. Madrid have the most wins and the most points for the time being, but they're not exactly convincing defensively. They also have issues. Their pressing is very inconsistent, and they're still relying on three midfielders who are over 30. La Real and Sevilla have been in it to this point. Sevilla, we've seen them fall away in the springtime before. La Real, no one really knows what to expect from La Real. They've gotten to this point still in the top four, right? I think Dermot Corrigan last week on Twitter said that Atletico can reach a level that no other team in La Liga is capable of reaching. And I agree with that. Yeah. It's a matter of, are they actually going to reach it? If they can cut out some of these silly errors and get their focus back, then yeah, maybe they can go on a long winning run. It's encouraging that no one is running away from them. They're going to be within 4 points of first place no matter what happens the rest of the day Sunday. And they have Osasuna coming out of the break at home, which should be a victory. Ideally is a victory, although you never know. La Liga is anything but boring and predictable. It is rather engaging and unpredictable. So we don't really know. The fact is we're debating it and we're talking about it. I think this is a big, big blow for Atletico, but it's they can recover. It's been unpredictable this season. It's been really wild with the several teams still in with a shout at the European places. There's only 7 points between first and sixth right now, which is, you know, it's a pretty, that's not a very significant gap. So who really knows? Either way you slice it, though, in a vacuum, Atletico needed to have these 3 points with the way the game was going, how they were cruising, how they were playing. And further good news is that Lema and Llorente are expected back after the international break. If they can get Lema back, that could be a missing ingredient here, because with Lema, they can play more with the ball or more effectively with the ball. They can exploit the gaps in defenses more efficiently, more effectively, because Lema is such a good dribbler and has such good vision between the lines. And Llorente is another runner. Llorente is someone who can add even another wild card to Atletico's now purring attack. So with those two guys coming back to reinforce the midfield, it's shaping up for Atletico to go on a run at some point. But the question is, when is it going to be? When are they going to be able to cut out these errors long enough to hit that run of form that they haven't really hit yet?
Yeah, maybe like you said, like Dermot said, Atletico are okay, and that's what I was trying to say in a roundabout way. But there is no one in La Liga that can reach the heights that they can reach. And secondly, like you said, it feels like they're going to go on a run at some point, the kind of run that no other team can I think is capable of. And then thirdly, I think like the signings this summer, obviously Rodrigo de Paul was one that Simeone pushed for, but Griezmann arrived late, and Joao Felix was out with the ankle injury. So I think, and now I understand we're nearly halfway through, we're 12 games into the season, so it's not much of an excuse, but given the nature of the international breaks, the recent international breaks, there's so many of them, the teams don't really get a chance to figure things out. Like, it feels like we get a couple of games, you get the Champions League, and then you get another international break. So after this international break, we've a proper run of games to see what's going on with Atletico. And I think that Atletico were also, I understand that the Champions League is fairly generally tough, but Atletico got a particularly hard group this year, and I think that they haven't really been given a chance to kind of get a breather and figure out what they're doing. Like, obviously, there's games like Levante where you think, okay, this is a chance now to kind of maybe win 2 or 3-0. they didn't do it.
Right.
And they haven't been able, and even when they have won convincingly, like against Betis, they couldn't follow it up. Like, they followed Real Betis win up with a collapse against Liverpool, and then a collapse again tonight.
Right.
So, I just think if they could get a chance to kind of maybe get Joao Felix a good run of games and figure out what they're doing in attack, I think that might kind of, and get like Savage back for a long, and his full strength team back, and pick from them Llorente, Lemar, and go from there. Maybe, now having said that, they might never get their team fit, and they're just things that happen during the season, but I think like if they can get that run of games and that and figure themselves out, I think they'll be fine.
I still can't figure out the logic, the reasoning behind putting Joao Felix on in the 86th minute of this game. Still can't figure out these substitutions.
He's not even like physically strong to hold the ball up, and maybe he thought he was going to win a free or two, but even defensively, like as a defensive attacker, like in the box, kind of waiting to break out, he wouldn't be ideal. Like, I thought it was bizarre. Maybe that's probably part of another thing that Simeone was getting at when he said it was his fault tonight.
It's very bizarre. International break now for Atletico to stew over this result and try to come back in a couple weeks with the goal, the aim of being more consistent and going on that run that, again, we both think that they're capable of going on. It's a matter of actually applying it, and actually La Liga is still, based on the table, there for the taking. But at some point, the margin of error is going to run out. And Atletico are going to have to get on a run of two wins, three wins here and there, and get a settled team, which I think Simeone is getting close to finding a settled team. At least I thought he was entering this game, but these substitutions just... And he's gotten these substitutions right throughout the season. His subs have saved Atletico a bunch of points already, but this time it led to 2 points dropped. So it's going to be a time of reflection and improvement for everyone over this break.
Including ourselves, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect time for us to sit back and think philosophically about our lives and our choices.
So we got an interesting kind of couple of days analyzing what happened and kind of reading between the lines of what Simeone was saying, maybe, and figure out just what happened tonight.
Well, we have tried our best to analyze it and answer that question: what on earth happened at Mestalla? And now, dear listener, we're hoping that you enjoyed our debate and you feel like it was worth your time. We certainly hope you enjoyed this podcast. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me on this Sunday edition of Colchonero Chat.
No problem at all, Jeremy. I'll catch you soon.
Absolutely, my friend. We will be doing some coverage on Into the Calderon over the international break, with several Atleti players going jetting off to join their national teams. Let's hope no one gets hurt. Heaven forbid someone gets hurt and we have to talk about it. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time when Atletico face Osasuna in Madrid. Thank you all for listening. Keep it on Into the Calderon. Keep it on patreon.com/colchonerochat as well for bonus goodies. And we will talk to you all very soon. Adios.